My God, this is so good.
Deuteronomy chapter 31. Are you ready for the word? The title of my message today is You Must Be Strong. You must be strong.
So what are these different voices? Number one, the voice of God, the voice of the flesh, which is your feelings. Your feelings can tell you marry this person. You shouldn't follow that voice. I've told you, many people look nice, but may not be nice, and especially may not be nice for you. You know, everybody is nice.
What I could see?
What are some of the opportunities that the prodigal son wasted? So one of the opportunities I think he wasted was his position. His position as a son. And what I mean by that is he failed to see his position as a great man's son. And it was only until he hit rock bottom that he realized what he had at home. And we even see that in Luke 15, if you don't mind.
I shall not want. And we read from Psalm 23. And we said that Psalm 23 is really summarized, or the summation of Psalm 23 is in the verse 1. God is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back for another episode of Scriptures on the Menu. I am Dominique, and
I'm Samuel Kudaji.
All right. Today we are going to focus on one specific Bible verse, which is taken from John 5, verse 5 through 17.
All right.
Okay.
Now, but before we start, before we read it, I'm going to have Dominic pray for us.
All right. So let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this moment that you have allowed us to be in your presence. We thank you for your goodness. Father, we are here. It's not by our own might. It is not by our own power. But it's only by your Spirit. Father, use us. We are your vessel. Father, whatever you reveal to us today, may we keep in our heart. And may this word guide us every day of our life. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Alright, so I'm going to read from the ASB version. And it says, John 5 verse 5 to 17. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately, the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was a Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath and it's not permissible for you to carry a pallet." But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Pick up your pallet and walk'?" But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in a temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So this verse really spoke to me a lot. I read it, I think, last week. Mm-hmm. You sent it out last week. And when I was reading, I was writing down, you know, all the revelations I was getting. And I want to talk about one of them. I got like 4 or 5 revelations.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about one of them. And I wrote it here. I'm going to read it out, you know. It says, "Your encounter with God is never meant to leave you the same. It is always supposed to improve you one way or the other. But the question is, do you want to be made whole?"
Mm-hmm.
This is very important, because I was reading a verse and I realized that when Jesus found out what was going on with the man, the question he asked him was, "Do you wish to get well?"
Yes.
And I'm wondering, why would Jesus ask him that question? Of course he's sick, so he definitely wants to get well.
Yes.
So what was the point of the question? And then you read the flowing sentence and you realize that the man started to give excuses. He did not even answer the question. He started to give excuses about, you know, how he cannot get into the pool, you know, and then somebody gets in before him.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at myself and as a human being, you know, going through life, I realized that for the most part, this question is very valid, because as Christians, we know we have some infirmities. You know, we have some things that we are dealing with. You know, for some of us, it might be stealing, it might be fornication, you know, it might be pornography, you know, it might be all sort of things. But when a question comes as, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to get what? Do you want to rid yourself of this of this type of disease that is, you know, stunting your spiritual growth?
You
might surprise you, but you know, the question could be no.
Yeah.
I don't want to get well. I don't want to stop fornicating. You know, I don't want to stop watching pornography. You know, because we understand the church as it is. We understand that the church is supposed to be almost like a hospital. Like Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous. You know, I came for sinners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came to make us better. So being in a church, you've come to make yourself better, but how sad it is that a patient goes to the hospital and has no intention of getting well. You know, because perhaps you enjoy your infirmities.
Mercy.
you enjoy the things that, you know, because unlike the traditional sickness that inflict your flesh, this type of spiritual sickness inflict your spirit, but it pleasures the flesh.
That's true.
And for most people, you know, even I included, if the flesh is enjoying it, it's hard for you to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for you to want to get better. And I remember the story about Paul casting out the evil spirit from the girl who was, you know, I think when they went to, was it Syria or something? They went to this Damascus. Sorry, Damascus. I know Damascus is Syria right now, so I got confused.
It's okay.
Yeah, Damascus is Syria. Yeah. I mean, right now in this present world.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember him casting out the evil spirit from the girl, and the girl's parents were mad at him because they were using it, you know, to get rich or something, to make money or something. It was almost like we profit from the bad things to the point where we don't want it to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to get better, and that is really sad, but it's really true, and it makes me ask myself, what are the things that I'm doing right now that is stunting my spiritual growth? but I don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to give it up. Mm. You know, and apart from that, I also wrote that oftentimes we give in to give up. Because if you cannot afford to give in, there is no way you would give up.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way we would give up on a solution unless we are willing to give into the circumstance and accept it as part of who we are. Then we can start giving excuses, you know. And I would give an example, for example, masturbation or pornography.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're like, you keep telling yourself, I've tried to stop and I just can't stop. It's just so hard. I mean, is pornography so accessible right now? When I get on my computer,
only
have to type a couple words, you know, and then something pops up, you know.
Yeah.
And you feel like this is just, it's impossible. I can't be strong. It's impossible for me to rid myself of this.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where you give in on finding a solution. You know, you give in to the circumstance. You tell yourself, I probably will always watch pornography. Mm-hmm. I probably will always masturbate.
Yeah.
You know, I probably will always fornicate.
Yes.
You know, I don't see how, as a young man of 24 years, I'm going to stay away from sex until I'm married. What if I don't get married until I'm 28?
Yeah.
That is like 4 years from now. How am I going to celebrate for 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's not possible. There's all these pretty girls around. No, I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and so you just give up on even trying, you know.
Yes.
You give up on trying completely, and to the point where you don't even want to pray about it, because you know that if you pray, God might help you.
You don't want to be helped.
Yeah, God might.
Oh.
You know, God might help you. God might help you get rid of this, but the... Nah, man, you don't want to get rid of it, you know. So that question was very important.
It's
do you want to get well?
Yeah.
You know,
because
until you say so, it will be hard.
Okay.
Until you're willing to, you know, to get well, it will be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because there are some people ahead, there's just, you know, I read a couple of stuff about medicine and hospitals, and it's like there are some people who... body, like, they're always in the hospital every other week or every other 2 weeks. It's almost like their body likes being sick. Their body likes being in the hospital.
Really?
Yeah, I'm serious. It's like,
wow.
I don't know what condition that is. I've fully forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who are always in the hospital, you know, and it's like their body just doesn't want to get well. You know, they always want to.
Yeah,
I know, it's crazy. I mean, I think I'll read about it and I'll let you know, but I think there's something like that. And
I should read about it.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, like, you know, what kind of infirmities have we accepted into our lives, you know, that we're willing to live with, you know. And trust me, this verse really made me think about that a lot, and it made me ask myself the question, is this something I'm doing right now? And if I'll be very honest, there's probably a couple of things that I'm doing right now that is affecting my spiritual growth that I may not be willing to get well from, you know, because it pleasures my flesh, and I'd rather have that and then and affect my spirit, you know, than to lose it, which is very wrong. That's a Christian, the most important thing is to make sure that your health, your spiritual health, you know, is always, you know, is always up, you know. You're growing your spirit, you know, at the expense of your flesh. That should be your goal as a Christian. And I'm glad that this verse at least made me realize that there's some things I need to work on, you know, there's some things I need to let go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that was deep. Just for one question.
I know.
Jesus asked. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and I even feel like the question itself, like asking the question, do you wanna get well, makes you realize that there's something that is wrong with you. You know, it's like if you didn't know, now you might ask yourself, like, is there something really wrong with me? You know. You know, but in this case, the man, of course, he's been sick for like 38 years. Of course, he knows that he's not well and he wants to get well. And what I like about that is, I had another point here that I wrote, and I was like, that Jesus knows our difficulties and that he's able and willing to deliver us, you know. It's like when he approached the guy, he already knew that he was sick.
He had this issue
for 38 years.
He knew all that,
you know. Mm-hmm. And then when, I remember when during the treasury, I was like, you know, when Jesus asked the question, it's not that he doesn't know. He already knows what he is about to do, you know. He's just asking the question. You know, it's a rhetoric.
It is a rhetorical question.
He already knows what he's going to do.
Yeah, it is a rhetorical question.
But I was like, wow, God, like, this man was waiting for just an opportunity. And then they were saying that the angel will come down certain seasons. You know, it's like, it's not every day. He will come just once in a while, maybe. And then if you get lucky enough, you know, you get yourself into the pool and then you get saved. But Jesus doesn't work in season. I feel like he's the one who comes and he's like, I don't need any season to work in your life.
Right.
I can just come right now. I don't need rain. We don't need sunshine. However is your situation, however bad it is, like, I can just do it right now.
Right.
And I like the fact that he added that he is still doing the, his father is doing the work and he's still doing the same work. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, it's like, whatever the father is doing, that's what he's doing. He hasn't changed. And then no matter what be the season, no matter why you think where you are, that you're still waiting for that particular, like, blessed water or someone to pour something on you or someone to, you know, do something. Like, this one for me was like, so sometimes we're waiting for like a huge thing to happen. It's like he just wanted somebody to put him into the pool and so it can get well, you know. But that was like more like too much thing going on, you know. Yeah. Like somebody has to pick it up and put you in the pool, and there's a lot of things that you have to run, and you know, it's a whole process. But just, it makes it so easier and simpler, and you just say that, do you just want to get well? Simple question, and then he'll work something out of it. So that's how, really, like, Jesus make things so easier. It's not complicated. Your issue may be so hard, but it's just one word. It's just one message. It's just a little touch. It's a little something, and then he works something out of it. So that's what I really like about this particular, like, verse. And then I also like the fact that you mentioned, like, about, like, sin, you know, like when you were talking about sins. And one thing that caught me is that he said to the guy that, you know, like, go and sin no more, so that your case will not be worse, you know. So sin, actually, I feel like sin is what actually brings disease in our life. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, we have cancer, oh, we have this disease, you know, all those weird names of disease. But sometimes we don't know that it's not only like genetic, you know, like, it's about like how I was born.
Yeah.
It's running into my family. But sometimes it's sin. People don't know. Maybe you have done something, but you don't know. But sin also can actually manifest with like disease, you know. And I feel like, not saying that this man has done something in his life, but like in general, even like in our days, we have to realize that sometimes sin can bring disease in our life. And then also that when you get well, when he makes you whole, Jesus makes you whole, and he said, go and sin no more, so that your case may not be worse. It's that if you got, you know, like, you've been delivered from maybe AIDS, and then you have to know when he said go and sin no more, meaning that the fornication that you could do before, that
led to that
to have AIDS, means that now
you gotta be careful about this. And then some people, they will go back to the same thing again. And then the case will be worse. It's like, oh, I've been saved before, but how come you have the same disease twice in your life? You know? It's just like, I don't know, but that was just like a really important point. Like, sin open door to disease in our life, and we really have to be careful. It can be like stealing, lying, those little white lies, you know.
Right.
But it opened doors to disease. And sometimes we don't even know, you know, we don't even notice, but hey, they're open doors to disease. So that's something that I also got from this verse. And
That is so right. I just, when you mentioned the whole eat thing, which is kind of true, because I've been thinking about it. You know, this disease came about, I think, in the 1980s, within a period of 30 or something years, that's inflicted it is a pandemic, or an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really think about it, the main factor to AIDS spreading so much, you know, it could be a number of factors, but the main thing could be fornication. I don't see how, if people were not sleeping around, and if each man stick to his wife and each wife stick to her husband, and if we waited until we married before we start having sex, I'm sure that AIDS as an epidemic wouldn't be this big as it is right now. Of course, there are other ways of getting it, you know, through I don't know, syringes and all that.
Yes.
But the fact remains that fornication has been a huge factor to spreading this HIV, this pandemic.
Yeah,
you know, and so when you say sin is a door to the disease, it makes sense. I see how it makes sense a lot. You know, apart from Jesus just saying that go and sin no more so that you may not be worse. I look at, you know, the whole AIDS thing, HIV thing, and I realize that it is really true. Our sins really propagate a lot of this disease that we have right now. Get it. And you also said something about how diseases are not working seasons. And I like that you said that, because I wrote here that we live in a world of probability. You know, what are the chances that this man will get into the water when it's stirred up again? Nobody knows. He probably could be there for the next another 10 years and you never get a chance to get into the water. Because in this world, there's so much that affect our lives. There's so many possibilities to how you may make it or you may not make it in life, you know. But if you trust God, if God doesn't work with God, I read here, God promises certainty. You know, when God comes into your life, you're certain that, you know, He's going to jump all those lines. It's going to be 100%.
Wow, I like that.
You know, it's going to be 100% that he's going to look out for you.
Yes.
And I remember Rev talking about how he never went networking and all that.
Uh-huh.
You know, he went to school, was a lawyer, he went to Columbia, you know, but he never, because they tell you that to get a job, you have to be networking, you have to be going for all these programs, you have to be traveling to, you know, these programs and these conferences and all that, like getting to know people. You know, but he was working for God. He put God first. He ran a church on campus. And God made the way. Right now he's a very powerful man.
Yes.
You know, in the corporate world, he's a very powerful man. And you remember how he got his present job right now? You know, how the one who had a job before, you know, just God appeared to her and just told her that hand over this job to this man. And you think about it and you realize that God can skip all those lines. God can skip all those, because there are probably like 10 different stages to you getting that job, and at every stage there's a probability that you may not pass the next stage. You know, what is the likelihood that you eventually land that job, or you eventually make it in life, or you eventually have a successful career? You don't know, you're just trying.
You don't know.
You could go to 1,000 networks.
You still get the job.
You still not get a job. But when you have God in your life, He promises that certainty.
That's amen.
you know, it takes away that probability of the world that we're living in right now. He promises a certainty that you should trust him, and he's always. The moment Jesus appeared into this man's life, he got well.
Oh, man.
You know, and he did not have to depend on someone getting into the water. You don't have to, because for all you know, there are moments where when the water gets stirred up, he's probably asleep.
Yeah.
You know, what's the likelihood that when the water gets stirred up, he's asleep? It's quite high. Because he's human, he has to sleep too. Yeah. He doesn't know when it's going to get stirred up. You just don't know. It's just probability.
You just don't know.
Life is just.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but Jesus shows up into his life and he just says, get up and walk.
Simple as it is.
You know, it's that simple. It's that simple for God. It's that easy for God. God doesn't enjoy us being in pain. Doesn't enjoy, you know, there's this thing called schadenfreude. I think it's a German word. It means when we enjoy people's pain, you know. It's a human condition that we all have. That is why we like scandals, and that is why when someone falls from grace to grass, part of us is a little happy. You know, when that blonde is no more blonde, you know, you're like, oh, you feel a little bit good about yourself.
Oh.
It's the reason why when we all fail in an exam, we are all you feel better about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
there's that thing. It's a human condition. It's an evil thing, but we all have it. It's called schadenfreude. But Jesus, God doesn't enjoy us, you know, when we are in pain.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't try to quote unquote show us, you know, to put in a situation where we're just worse off and he's just up there laughing at us. You know, he doesn't like that. He doesn't do that, and that is never his desire. No matter what you see going on in the world right now, God doesn't. He says in his word that he wishes that we prosper, even as our soul prospers. You know, God is not against physical prosperity. He's not against you having a good life in this world, on this earth, even as your soul prospers. He wishes that, you know, physically you prosper too.
Amen.
That you have good health.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That you have strength.
Amen.
That you have a good family, you know, that you're living a good life.
Yes.
He's not against that at all. He's not against that at all. You know, and we have to, it's about time we realize that he has our best intentions at heart. We just have to make sure that we always find ourselves at his feet, you know, and always put him first, not just first but center. Like I said before, you know, right? And I also, when I read the verse 17, I read the verse 17, and this is what I realized. Let me read it real quick. It says right here that. Let me read from 16. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working.
Okay. Yeah.
And when I read that part, I wrote this down that, you know, being a foot soldier for the kingdom of God, God is working for his kingdom. You know, he's making sure that his kingdom expands. And it's our work, it's our job as Christians to serve as foot soldiers for the kingdom.
Yes.
And for no reason should we have an excuse. They wanted him to have, Jesus was telling them that I don't have a sabbatical excuse. I know it was a Sabbath, but there's not I'm going to see a man and I have the ability to heal and I'm going to tell myself it's a Sabbath day, so I'm not going to do it. And we have to think about that when we think about the work we do for God. You tell yourself, I can't come to church because I have work on Sundays, you know. Or I cannot do this in the ministry because of this excuse or that excuse. Mm-hmm. You don't have an excuse. You shouldn't have an excuse at all. It's not you shouldn't.
We have excuses for God.
Yeah, we give God excuses
all the time.
You know, for why we cannot do this or that.
God, he didn't doubt when he came and he died for us. He didn't even think about
it
twice. So why are we thinking twice before we can do something for him?
We've been sent out to go and preach to all nations.
Yeah.
That was the main job he gave
the
us.
Main job, yeah.
That we could find ourselves always giving on the screens to why we cannot do our jobs. And,
yes.
You know, I have class, you know, or I'm too busy in my work, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you realize that it's not right. Because Jesus himself did not give an excuse. He was working on the Sabbath and he did not give himself an excuse why he cannot work on the Sabbath, why he cannot talk to people on the Sabbath, why he cannot preach on the Sabbath, why he cannot heal on the Sabbath. Because
mm-hmm.
he said that even God himself is working until now,
yeah.
And I myself am working.
Yeah.
You know, and he spoke a lot to me because I realized that I should be ashamed of myself if I have an excuse for why I'm not doing the work of God. Mm-hmm. Whatever reason that may be, it's not valid. And we know when a reason is not valid. We know it's convenient. There's situations where you're given an excuse and you know that it's not valid but it's convenient. technically you are right. And for me, I think that is the I don't want to say the worst thing, but that is not right. That is not right for us to, you know, give God excuses for why we cannot work for the kingdom of God. Because we have to. As Christians, you're never supposed to, you know, what is the word? Just you come into the fold and you're saved and that's it. You just stay around.
No.
Without doing your part. I liken this to battlefield. When you're in a battlefield,
yeah.
And someone is injured and you help that person on their feet and they get some sort of treatment or whatever and you have a little bit better, they don't stay on the bed. They get out because the other people in the battlefield that are injured too, and you might be walking around with a bandage on your head, but you're also trying to help someone because that is your job. You're in the battlefield, you're supposed to be helping out.
Yes,
you're never supposed to just be chilling, I'm doing nothing. I'm injured, I'm just gonna chill here to the end of the battle. That is, once you understand that it's a battlefield, you have to understand that it's never your place to do nothing. Once you've been saved, it's not your place to do that. Once you've been saved, it's up to you to get back in there and help someone. Because people need to get saved too. You are lucky to get saved. Someone also needs to get saved. You have to do your part.
Yes.
You know, and that verse really spoke to me on that part. How it's very important that we don't give excuses to why we can't.
We're gonna give a lot of excuses. You gave a lot of them. You have so many reasons why we cannot do this or do that. But hey, we are Christian for a reason. We are called Christian after His name, Jesus Christ. So, whatever or however He lived His life on earth, that's the example that we are following. Jesus wasn't like a lazy, He wasn't like a tired, He wasn't, you know, giving excuses to people to not do anything. Always willing. We just lack willingness. You know, maybe we are so focused on our own life, school, work. But the number one work that we have to do is the last thing in our mind. So.
And I like what you say, always willing. You have to always be willing. You have to always be willing. For that reason alone, I like the definition of, because I, you know, when we in school we did RME, so we studied a religion and we learned the definition of Islam.
Yes.
Submitting to the perfect will of God. That's what Islam technically means. I don't know what they're doing now, but that is what Islam
means.
And I like that definition because you're supposed to submit to the perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian, you're supposed to submit to the will of God.
Submit.
Whatever He needs you to do, and you know what He needs you to do. If you don't know, ask in prayer about it. He answers prayers. You know, He answers questions. So you pray about it, and you understand what He needs you to do, and you do it. You have to always be willing. Always be willing. Always be willing. Because your excuse is not valid. The excuse Moses gave that he cannot go into Egypt was not valid. Once he said that, he just found a way around, God found a way around it. He said, go with your brother. You know, he will talk for you. If you say he can't talk, he will talk for you.
I'll bring someone. Let's go.
Exactly. You know.
Oh my God, I can't.
The whole Jonah situation too. Because
mm-hmm.
once he's asked you to do something, your excuses don't matter anymore. It's not valid. And the excuse, the job he gave us was, go you fall into one nation and preach. That all may be saved. And for that duty, there's no excuse that could be. That is valid to excuse us from that work, you know, for whatever reason. Yeah. And so, but this is what I took from the verse.
Wow.
It's a very powerful verse.
It is powerful. I'm really blessed for whatever other revelation that you shared today. I feel really blessed.
Awesome. So, I think we are at the end of this episode.
Yes, we are.
We're going to the end of this episode. And once again, we feel blessed. I feel blessed.
I feel blessed too.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I've learned so much from this.
Yes.
And I pray that whatever I've learned, you know, stays with me.
Yes.
Because there's something called, so there's something called unlearning.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad, but it's true. You can learn something and unlearn it.
Yes.
And I pray to God that whatever I've learned, whatever He has revealed to us today,
Amen.
You know, be first, that it stays with us and it directs us, that it influences us and makes us better Christians.
Amen.
You know, in the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Okay.
All right.
Let's pray real quick.
All right.
Thank Heavenly you. Father, we thank you, God, for this moment. We thank you for coming into our midst and spending time with us and for revealing to us your nature and your desire for our hearts and for our lives. We pray to you, God, that what you've taught us today, that we use it in our lives, that it blesses us and blesses other people. Pray to you, God, that you make us strong for soldiers for your kingdom.
Amen.
I pray to you, God, that you that we're able to, you know, to give up on the infirmities that we are holding on to.
Amen.
And I pray to you, God, that you save us from sin and from the afflictions that come with sin. And we thank you, God, that you're always going to be the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you that you know what is not how it's been in our lives. We are always willing and ready to take care of us. To help us and to heal us.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Great. Okay, so we'll see you again next week.
Yeah, next week.
This is our first episode that we actually recorded in person.
Yeah.
You know,
face to face.
Face to face, next to each other. And we hope that you guys are blessed as we are blessed.
Yes.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.